Well, church, it's so good to be back here with you this morning. We're in the midst of a series, if you're new, called Summer in the Psalms, where we just take our rhythm as a church is to spend the summer in a book of the Bible and let it understand how it forms us, how it's formed people of God in the past. And this summer, as we talk about how we've been formed, I want to remember and remind that, like, God sometimes speaks, and not sometimes, always speaks through the word, his love, his care, and sometimes we don't know what to say back. And that's why we read the Psalms, as a way in order to understand how to speak back, how to share the depths of our hearts as we are formed as disciples of Jesus. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is our discipleship, or we call apprenticeship after Jesus. And that for us at Pine Lake, as we are apprentices of Jesus who are trying to model our lives after him, this is what it looks like for us. This is the rhythms that we live into. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning, we are talking about Psalm 84, where I'll give you a little preview. It's a song in the 90s. It's called Better Is One Day. Like, anybody getting that feels? Okay, some people. Okay, some people. I told Kyle he's banned from singing it, so no worries. No, but one of the things that in that text, it really talks just about this idea of, like, this juxtaposition of, like, would you rather live this way or that way? And we see that a lot through Scripture, and we live that way a lot. One of the things that we did when I was a youth pastor is that we would take trips, and this one trip that we went to was a water park, and you know water park in the summers have long lines, and you have to, like, kill the time. But as a youth pastor, this is my favorite time because I get to know students, I get to know who they are, hear their hearts, and the game that we would play, maybe you played it before, is Would You Rather? Anybody play that game before? Would you rather? Well, this is the great time because you get to know a lot about somebody by their would you rather, whether the first one or the last one that they say. Like, sometimes it is ridiculous, the things. Like, the Pine Lake one here for the youth is, would you rather have feet for hands or hands for feet? And when I got here and I said, that's your question, that tells me so much about it. But when we were in line at this water park, we had kind of all gone through, and then there's this one, it was the time for the students to like listen to some adults. And one of my adult leaders said this question. He goes, would you rather live forever in the teens or in your 30s? And the student, who always has a big mouth, said, that's so old. Hence, I'm sitting there in my 30s. And he goes, why wouldn't you pick something like the 20s? And I was like, oh, Lord, you better be shutting your mouth. But that's the question is, like, we have today. There's always something like, would you rather? I love them because it's not either or. It is either or. It's not, you can't just choose to opt out. The name of the game is would you rather? And when we get in the text this morning, it's the question that we have before us today that we want to explore is, would you rather live a life yearning or one that is impartial, indifferent, apathetic? Would you rather live a life that yearns, or do one that is indifferent, apathetic? And so this morning, we're going to join and look in Psalm 84. So if you will join me with your Bibles, whether you have them physically or digitally, we'd love for you to look at the text together. It says this: how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Would you join me in prayer this morning? God, as we come together, all of us want, need, desire you in one way or another. God, would we offer the places where we are to you right now? Father, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you? Would you give us a heart open to your love? Would you open our minds to receive the word you have for us this morning? We ask this all in your son's name. Amen. All right, church. Would you rather be found, or would you rather wander aimlessly? This is a question, because we all yearn to be found. I think of the college students who have left just recently and are leaving, who are going to a new place that they haven't known before, where they have been meeting people that they have never met before. There's so many questions that are circling around when a place where they have come from is a place they had grown up, a place they feel sturdy and foundation. They know who they are and they know where they are home and where they are found. There's so much of this that happens in that season for all of us, not only when we go to college, but when we go to new places, new cities, new neighborhoods, new jobs. The place that we find ourselves in is this desire, this deep yearning, not only to exist, but to be found. The psalmist knows this, and he puts it out in purpose, that he says that even the sparrow has found a home and swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young and a place near her altar. This is the fact that in there, the sparrow and the swallow, two insignificant animals that you would think shouldn't even come to mind of the psalmist. When you talk grand birds of prey, like we have, like the eagles that fly over Lake Sammamish, you would think that this would be the psalmist's cry. Even in the other part, we soar on the wings of eagles, but yet the psalmist talks about a sparrow and a swallow. And for some of us, that insignificance that we feel, that insignificance and shallowness that we feel like we shouldn't be a thought, or that we should be an afterthought, it means that the insignificant and the anxious can find a home, can be found. That you and I, in the grand scheme of what we have done or haven't done, the way we measure up or we haven't measured up, that we long to be found. And yet, when we bring ourselves to God, we say, have we brought enough? And the psalmist reminds them, you don't have to bring enough. You were created by your Father. How much more are you worth than the sparrow or the swallow? That if they can find a home near the altar of the Lord where they can continue to flourish, have a family, how much more important are you, children of God, who yearn to find a home, can find it in God's temple, in proximity and presence of the Lord? This is what we yearn for. You and I yearn to be found. But often we put and try to find ourselves in places where we stand on shifting sands, waiting for so long to make a misstep, a miscue, where we are booted out, or we are no longer worthy. But not only that, do we yearn to be found. The question that we have is that we yearn to belong. So would you rather belong or be alienated? Would you rather belong or be excluded? There's no indifference in life. You will be formed. You will choose one or the other. And the question is, will you belong or will you sit on the outskirts, excluded, just on the outside, waiting and hoping that you'll be invited in, but yet you choose to operate in the sphere of the farthest and the outskirts? This is what happens when we see in the text, the psalmist has a would you rather. Because better is one day, is the comparison. One day or a thousand days. One day in the house of the Lord or a thousand anywhere else. Choose. And you see the comparison? It wasn't just like one day in your courts, but a thousand in the laps of luxury. Would you rather live today in a place where everything is taken care of you? Where every problem has either come up and you can answer it, or no problems exist at all, or your favor is found in the world around you and not in the Lord? And I love this moment because I want to say this moment in the text where it says about a doorkeeper, there's not a hierarchy in the Lord, in the kingdom of God. Like, you're not going to get to heaven and be like, oh, you know what? You did really good. And so you have a seat at the table, or you're a busser, you know, or you get to clean the toilets. Or you're a street cleaner. Like, this is not like the hierarchy exists, but this is something that would be an understanding amongst the Israelite people, is that they had this place where if you were good enough, pure enough, that in the temple you had certain thresholds you could get to, or you could not. And the person is saying, I would rather be at the furthest place out, just a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, than live my life with every type of favor in the world, every type of pleasure in the world, every type of benefit that I could have, every privilege that would be mine. I would rather choose to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, where maybe I get a glance at the Lord. Maybe the Lord glances and says, thank you. Than live a life full of longing to be found and to never be found. This is all over scriptures. We find this in the story, in the parable of the two sons, where the younger son squanders all of his father's inheritance. And he finally comes to the moment where he sees that the life that he has wanted is not lived up to what his expectations were. And he desires to come back, and he says, if I have to be a servant, so be it. He longs and yearns to belong. And so he goes back and says to his father, I will be the lowest of low as long as you let me in. You see this in the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She says, if I can just get close enough, I don't need his hands to heal. I don't need his eyes to see. I just need a touch of the hem of his garment and I will be healed. A yearning so deep that it causes her to do what is socially unacceptable, to be in the nearness of the Lord. To yearn to belong. And this yearning, by definition, is an intense feeling that you have inside of yourself for what you have been separated from or that you have lost. That yearning, maybe you can identify with the internal emotion, or maybe it's foreign to you. That you don't have this intense feeling of being separated from something or someone, or had to have something lost or someone lost from you. And you have such a desire to be reunited. But this is the beauty of the gospel. That yearning, while for us, can just be an internal emotion or feeling or a thought, it is not for Jesus. And so the question you ask, what do you yearn for? Because the truth is, Jesus yearns for you. Like, I love to think about that, that this yearning that the psalmist talks about, this yearning that God has deep inside of him to be reunited from the people that he has lost and been separated from, it is so big, it doesn't become just a feeling, that it becomes an action. That the Lord would burn so much that he would invade the creation and become a human being so that he could find what is lost. that he could be returned from the thing that he was separated from. The intimacy that he had in the garden with humanity, but would be restored. That after years and years, he had told them, hey, I'm sending someone. I'm sending my son. Someone's coming. The Messiah is coming that will do what I have longed to do and yet has been incapable. My people have chosen to yearn over other things besides me, and I can't take it any longer. Have you ever had a yearning so deep and so true inside of you that you can't help it anymore? You must act. This is what the Lord did. No longer would he wait, but he invaded. This is what it's talked about in 1 John. I love one of the ways that you can hear this said by different writers who experienced Jesus in the flesh. John said this in his experience, that God so showed how much he loved us. That God showed how much he loved us by sending the one and only Son. The Son that John knew. That God so loved him. I saw it in the flesh. That he sent his Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. That Jesus came not just so that he could experience a lifetime, a short lifetime with his children, but he came so that all who has come and will come will experience this reunification, this restoration in a relationship with the Lord. That it's not those that just got to see him in the flesh, that you and I will once again, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we say, yes, you are the Savior, you are my Lord. That it's not until eternity, but in that moment, the Lord is so gracious that he indwells his spirit within you. He says, I can't wait for eternity, so I'll bring eternity to you now. God yearns so much for you that he can't wait your lifetime to be reunited with you. That in the same way he sent his Son today, he sends his spirit to indwell and to abide in you. To change that intense feeling that he has from you to a reality of intimacy and love and restoration with you. That right now, as you give your life, if you have never done that, that it is available to you right now. That his yearning has been made into action. And it indwells in you. The reality, that feeling indwells in you right now. Every step, every moment that you are awake, the Lord lives in you, as a testimony to the truth that while you are yearning to be found and you're yearning to belong, you don't have to run and find the house of the Lord. The Lord has come to you through the Spirit so that wherever you go, you are found and you belong. And so the question, church, that we ask ourselves is, why don't we yearn? What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? Do I not believe that the God who showed up in physical form will show up for me? If I'm not going to yearn, I'm going to be indifferent. And that indifference leads to distance. Like, I tell you that, and it's not something that you have to go so far to understand. All of us, when you're in relationships with other people, the more that you are indifferent about them, even to the smallest degree, is the beginning of the distance that you have between you. And we justify that with humanity because we'd be like, oh, it's okay, like, I can always come back. But that indifference seeps into our bones and into our spirit. And it begins to have an impact on our relationship with the Lord. And I'm going to say this to you as I say it to myself. It's the moment we feel the farthest distance for God. It's the question I ask myself, is when was the last time you've actually yearned for the Lord? Like, deeply yearned. That there is this distance that you can perceive and you know is happening between you and the Lord. And it grieves your heart so much. It's so deep that the separation and the lostness that you feel with the Lord is so deep that you have to do something about it. the yearning will lead to the transformation, not only in your life with Christ, but your life with one another. That we need to be a church and a people of God that don't lose and say the yearning is something of the past because Jesus has come. But I yearn out of what he has already done. If you can't look at the cross and see the distance that was closed between you and the Lord, if you can't see that, and something in you doesn't deeply desire to be reconnected with the Lord, whether you've been following for 50 years, 90 years, or 90 minutes, if you can't look to the cross and say, I am burning with a deep passion to reunite myself with the Lord because I have been creating this distance. And I say this to myself. No wonder you feel lost and separated from the Lord. Austin, no wonder you feel apathetic. You feel like you haven't heard the Spirit in such a very long time. Because you've allowed that indifference to seep into your heart. And to seep into your relationship with the Lord. Today is a day that needs to change. Would you rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord or the prince of the world? Would you let us pray? Holy Spirit, you've been moving in our hearts and our minds, in our ears. So we want to quiet ourselves for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, speak. Speak clearly again. What you have for me. What you want to say to me. Holy Spirit, as we transition, as we begin to respond, would you keep speaking? Because you are our God and we are your people. Amen.